Let's look at Luke 5, real obscure passage that is never mentioned here at Good News Church. Luke 5. We'll start in verse 1. But we need God's power. Everybody say, we need God's power. And Luke 5, chapter 5 and verse 1, great story. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land, and he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Everybody say, for a catch. I just want to pause there for a minute. Jesus didn't send him out for a try. Isn't that right? He didn't send him out and say, well, you know, at least you put the nets in the water. He said, go out for a catch. And in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he said, go out and make disciples. He's always sending us out for a catch. A lot of people, they're going out for a try. That's why they never catch anything. He sends us out for a catch. Boy, I always emphasize that. You know what, when you send in the teams out, folks, we're going out for a catch today. We're not going out for just to give it the old college try. We are going out for a catch. That's what Jesus sent us out for. So he said, launch out and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. And that was a good trade, wasn't it? Anybody in here left everything and followed him? It's worth it. Amen. It's worth it. But you know, the thing here is that there's a difference between the night trip and the day trip. The actions are the same. The nets are the same. The boats are the same. But the difference was God's power was involved in that second trip. And it wasn't a new technique that Jesus gave them to be catchers of, you know, fish. He didn't say, now try this new net. It wasn't a new boat that he gave them. But they acted in obedience to his word. And as they acted on the word of Jesus, God always watches over his word to perform it. Isn't that right? And Peter acted in faith. It took faith to go out there at the words of Jesus. He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word." That was a faith statement. And his actions revealed his faith in what Jesus said. He acted in faith on Jesus' commission to go out into the deep, just like Jesus commissioned us to go into all the world. He acted on faith in the Word of God, and as he acted on it, there was power that worked with him, and the power made the difference. Everybody say, the power makes the difference. We're seeing this power work with us this week. We saw it today. There was nothing that we could have done. Listen, think about it. Let's just examine it. We walk up to a guy. He's in a wheelchair. Who talked to him first? Who was it that talked to Harry that talked to the guy in the wheelchair today? Kaylee. Kaylee's talked to him first. And he tells Kaylee that last night he's praying for his community and he's praying for his wife in particular. And the Lord speaks to him and says, tomorrow somebody's going to come and lead your wife to the Lord. That's miracle territory right there, folks. That's some kind of power working with us. Amen. That's power. I mean, that is nothing. There's nothing that we could have done to orchestrate that. That is right there, hardcore evidence that God's working with us. And it happened just as the Lord told the man. The woman called on the name of Jesus. She was born again. Then she herself joins the team, turns into a street evangelist, starts knocking on her friend's doors. They came and grabbed me. Come to this one's door. She's on oxygen. This one just had a hip replacement. Knocking on doors. She just got born again a few minutes before. Now she's preaching the gospel to her neighbor. That's pretty good. Some kind of power did that. I'm thankful for that we're seeing God. It's exciting, isn't it? My God, I mean, it's just flat exciting to work with God and to see Him work with you. There's nothing like it. Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Some people going out for the first time, you know, this week, getting a taste. How many would say it's good? How many have been out on outreaches and say, yeah, it's good? Whatever. If they're not on outreaches, in Kroger parking lot, you know, just ministering to people, whatever. You're working with God to see people blessed. How many say it's good? It is good. Now, but what we've been talking about, we're thankful for what God is doing. But you know, because of the need of humanity, because of the condition of the world, because of the forces that are working against the human race, we're thankful for the power that we do see, but we're hungry for more of God's power to work with us. How many would agree? We don't want to despise what is happening, and we don't want to walk away and have a negative attitude about it and be like, boy, you know, nothing's going on. No, man, I'm telling you, this is miracle territory. God is working with us. But you know, there's something about seeing God work with you. It stirs a hunger, and you say, my God, if He could do this, what else can He do? Have you ever been there? You know, it's just like you say, you know, wait a second. You just get a taste, you know. God answers a prayer. You stand in faith for something. God comes through. You go out in your ministry to people, God backs you up, whatever it is, and it stirs a hunger for more. Boy, that kind of happens in the natural, doesn't it? It's interesting how the Bible compares spiritual hunger to natural hunger. Once you taste something good, you eat at a good restaurant, usually you want to go back. Isn't that right? Yeah, amen? Am I the only one? Somebody else agree? Because somebody backed me up here, you know. Sorry. Nan's a good cook. I love to go to Nan. I'm going back. I love it. I like it. I'm going back. I'm a repeat partaker of Nan's cooking. Amen. It's good. I like it. In fact, my family has adopted the Eclair recipe. Now, Eden has made that for every family event in like the past 2 years. So she's famous for it now. Hopefully there's no copyrights or royalties that you'll need, or she's going to be giving you her allowance money. So anyway, but amen. But you see what I'm saying? If it's good, you want more, right? You want more. You know, some people, you just want more. And God's like that. And we want more because it's just fun. I mean, that's one thing about working with God. It's just flat fun. How many would agree with that? It's just fun to experience Him. You know, I used to say this and telling the testimony, you know, launching out and working with God and going into ministry and stuff. And you know, you kind of have the choice between the world and running with God. Now, I remember this one time I was talking to a youth group and I said, you know, if you flat took all the consequences away from sin, you know, in other words, if you just had a free sin pass, like you get a hall pass, you know, somebody gave you a sin pass and said, here, sin all you want, and there's no consequences. You know, everything will be all right. Don't worry about it. I've still found something better than that. Would you agree? You know, I mean, some people just aren't sinning because they're just trying to just, you know, because and they hate it. You ever meet somebody like that? They're not sinning, but they feel like they're missing out on something horribly, you know. Like, I'm not going to live like that. I'm not going to, but boy, you know, it's just a real burden on them to have to not just go buck wild, you know, and just run into, you know what I'm saying? But it's not like that. It shouldn't be like that. Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's good. Isn't that right? It's not just the escape hell choice. It's a better choice. It's more fun. It's just better in every way. Amen. Boy, with God as my witness, I can tell you, as sincere as I know how to be, it's true. I've just found something better. Shout amen if you found something better. I mean, it's good to work with God. It's good to see people helped and see life brought to people. It's good to give life, to be empowered to give life. And somebody who's hurting and somebody's in pain, you can walk into that situation and help them. It's good to have life and life more abundantly in your own existence and in your own family. And it's good. It's better than anything the world has to offer. And it's just flat fun. So there is a certain, you know, there's a kind of a certain, I guess you would call it maybe a selfishness even to wanting to see God move and just the excitement, because it's just fun. I mean, it's fun to go out. But then we've got to remember and remind ourselves of the desperate need of God's power. Now, when we think of miracles, it's just fun to, you know, to walk with God and see what, I mean, it's exciting to see what man says is absolutely impossible happen in your life as you and God cooperate, as you team up. It's just exciting, man. It's a thrill. There's a thrill to it. And so it's exciting to see more. You know, there's like a there could be a selfish aspect because you just want more, and that's okay. That's good to want more. But we got to remember there's also a need for more. We need more of God's power, don't we? I mean, there's a desperate need for it. So we're thankful for the power that we've seen and how it's worked with us. We're thankful for this power that's worked on the streets as we go out. And there's no doubt that God's working with us. God's doing that. What we've been talking about in these meetings is increase. Everybody say it again. Say increase. We're thankful for what God's done. But what I wanted to do tonight is just kind of think about and meditate and talk about on what else can God do. What else is he able to do? Now you look here at Luke chapter 5, and it shows that all these fish coming into these nets, and the nets are breaking and the boats are sinking. I mean, it's a supernatural amount. And God is able to do this as we work with him. Thank God for what we see as we go out on the streets, but you know there's more that he's able to do. There's more that he's able to do in our workplaces and our families. And we don't despise what he's doing now. We embrace it and we're thankful for it, but it stirs a hunger in us to contend for even greater things. Because we know that he's on our side, man. This is a God thing. He's working with us. But we're saying, you know, there's more he wants to do. The first thing we've got to remember is God's willingness. He is willing. Everybody say he's willing. See, some people have drawn the entire wrong conclusion when it comes to the power of God. They've just kind of thought, well, if God wanted us to have more of his power in his life, then he would just do it. But listen, you've got to balance that theology from Calvary. You've got to look at God's willingness to go to the cross. You've got to look at Jesus' willingness to pay the ultimate price. That if he was ever going to hold back, if he was ever going to say, now enough's enough, it would have been in the garden, it's not going to be now. Are you with me tonight? In other words, if he was willing to go to the cross for humanity, if he was willing to die for you, if he was willing to die for me, if he was willing to die for the residents of Cherry Tree, Dogwood, and just the people that live around this building here, if he was willing to die for them, then he is willing to demonstrate his power and use his power to see them brought to him today. How many would agree? So you see, God's willingness is there. That's the thing, because the devil, and I'm telling you, it's right from the pit of hell. The devil has sown this doctrine and this thinking in the church that has bred laziness and lethargy, that people just wait back, you know, sit back and, well, someday God's going to do something. And when he decides to, you know, save people, when he decides to heal people, I guess we'll all be excited and we'll watch him do it, you know. Oh, there's some revival that's going to come someday or something like that. The whole time God has made the power available and his willingness is there, and he wants to save our friends, neighbors, and loved ones right now. Amen. So there's power available and God is willing. Everybody say God is willing. He's so willing. Look at the cross. How you think, is he willing? Look at the cross. The cross tells us how willing he is. Look at Calvary. Calvary tells us how willing he is. If he's willing, then there's power available. I think this thought when I was on the campus, you know, when I was in college campus and starting in ministry, that was the thought that I just realized how much God loved those people. I realized how much God loved the lost. And there was something about that idea that made me realize that he was willing to do anything, that anything that he had available, any resource of his, he was willing to use to see them saved. And it wasn't him that was holding back because he loved them so much, but it must be something that the church had to do, something that believers had to do, something that I had to do to see that power released to help people. Amen. Boy, that's the same in your personal life tonight. Hear me. God's not withholding any blessing from you. He's not withholding any good thing from you. He's not, you know, he's not sitting back holding any, it's not healing, not provision, not peace. He's not withholding any good thing from you. If there's anything that stands between you and what God has already provided through Calvary, it's the devil, it's the flesh, it's our own misunderstanding, unbelief, whatever the case may be. But you must know that God is willing and wants you to have it if Calvary provided it. Amen. Everybody say it's for me. If he provided it, if it was provided through the cross, he wants you to have it now. He's not waiting, boy, so many times. He's not waiting for some more opportune time. There's not some special mysterious timing in it that, well, you know, he's going to let you sweat it out for a while. I don't see that in the Bible. He never told one person, not today. He never told one person, not now. Not even on the Sabbath. When the woman was bent over with the spirit of infirmity, Jesus didn't say, not today. It was that day. That was her day. The day she met Jesus. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today. Everybody say today. Today and forever. God's not withholding anything from you. And it doesn't take him 20 years to cause you to be healed. It doesn't take him 20 years for you to have peace, bring you peace. It doesn't take him 20 years to cause you to prosper. You can claim it today and be sure that it's yours today if Calvary has already provided it. Amen. There's power available. So, once you establish God's willingness, then you realize that, you know, that he's not holding it back, then if we'll take simple actions, then we could have it. Amen. I believe that we could have more power to help us win the lost, more demonstrations of God's power like we read about here in Luke chapter 5, because God is willing and he loves people so much. You know, like when I started in ministry, I just had this thought. You know, I would read stories, still love to read stories about guys like, you know, Smith Wigglesworth and A.A. Allen and John G. Lake, particularly John G. Lake and Smith Wigglesworth. And I'd read these amazing stories of how God would work with them to set free, you know, heal the sick, set free the captives, help hurting people. And I just simply brought this approach to reading those stories. I said, now God doesn't love the people that they ministered to any more than the people that I minister to. Isn't that right? I mean, it was just simple to me. And it wasn't about me. You know, if we just get our eyes off ourselves sometimes. I said, you know, forget myself out of the picture. Get your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes on the hurting people. And I say, you know, when you go out on the street, when you're at your workplace, when you're at your family reunion, you may think about some awesome demonstration of God's power and how God's helped somebody through some ministry or some, you know, miracle testimony you've heard. God doesn't love the people that they talk to or they contact any more than the people that you're going to contact and you're going to have connection with. And he's willing to use you to bless them just as much as anybody else. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, that unlocked it for me. It just was, you know, simple, just logical for me. I just said, God loves people. He wants to help the people that I talk to as much as the people that Smith talks to, you know. He wants to help the people that Nate talks to as much as anybody else. Amen. So it caused me to start to put a demand on his power. I said, there's power available, so I started to expect to see it. Amen. To help people, to bless people, to set free the captives, to heal the sick, to save the lost. But I wanted to tell some stories just about some of the power that we've seen it demonstrated. And I know you guys have heard some of these. Maybe some of them you haven't, but bring back some remembrance. But when I first started out and seeing that there was power to see the lost saved and this Luke chapter 5, and I first started to get excited about it and put my faith on it, saying God loves, you know, we're doing this outreach. There's power available. We expect to see some evidence of this power in operation. I was ministering at a friend's church up in Conneaut, Ohio, and we went out and did door to door because in Conneaut, it's not like Augusta. There was 50, it's a little town in just on the northeast point of Ohio, right on the Pennsylvania border and on Lake Erie. 15,000 people, and you know, there's not a lot of people out on the street, so we had to do door to door. So we're going knocking on doors. So we went out, we're passing out flyers for a miracle service. The pastor's wife goes and knocks on the door. A woman comes to the door and she's on the telephone. She's on the telephone and she's having a conversation with somebody about how she needs to get back to the Lord. Okay, so then somebody comes to the door with a flyer for an evangelistic service. That's pretty good, you know. Well, so random house, you know, totally random house. So then she's having this conversation. I got to get back to the Lord. She had some health problems in her life, and she was, you know, so she was, you know, seeking spiritual counsel from a friend. Well, the woman on the phone, who she's talking to on the other end of the phone, is from the church where we're having the meeting. Okay, the pastor's wife is the woman who knocks on her door. The woman on the phone on the other end recognizes the pastor's wife's voice at the door. So she's having a conversation with this woman saying, I need to get back to the Lord. And then the woman on the phone says, that's my pastor's wife at your door. Amen. Random house. Pastor's wife from the woman's church comes to the door. So we've got her attention. So then she says, well, can I pray with you about anything today? Just like we do, you know. The woman had slipped discs and she had pain in her back. Joy is the woman's name. Prays for the woman. Pain instantly leaves her back. She's healed. Praise God. So now we've got her attention. She comes to the miracle service. Her real problem was she had some serious blockage in her heart, like high percentage, you know. It was like 70%. She was already slotted to have heart surgery. She comes to the meeting. We pray for her in Jesus' name. She goes back 100% clear. They cancel the heart surgery. Hallelujah. She's been attending that church ever since. Amen. Well, it took some kind of power to do that. Amen. And power is activated by faith, isn't it? The woman with the issue of blood needed some power. She said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She put a demand on that power. She reached out. She acted her faith in that power. She thought it was worth it, like we talked about last night, to drag herself through the streets, to break the law, the Levitical law, to break all kinds of social boundaries. She thought it was worth it. Why did she think it was worth it? She thought it was worth it because she believed on the other side of her act of faith was power that could make her whole, that could heal her body, that could change her life. And as she stepped out in faith, that power met her and she was not disappointed. And the Bible tells us that Jesus felt power go out of him. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. So her faith in God's power gave action to that power. Well, if there's power available and we can do something to give action to it, if that's how it works with healing power, certainly that's how it works with saving power. That's how it works with door-to-door power. Amen. That's how it works with outreach power. That's how it works with any kind of save the lost power you need. Put a demand on it by faith. So that was, her name was Tracy. She got filled with the Holy Ghost then. The woman who we knocked on her door, like I said, that was, I don't know, 7 years ago. She's still a member of that church today. Still going there. 7 or 8 years ago. Faithful member. So then, before that meeting, I just started to see these things, Luke 5, and I'd been reading a lot of old stories about revivals that had happened in days gone by. And I heard this one story also, from this woman who was praying for a husband. She got born again. This happened in Marion, Ohio. This was actually the pastor of a church that we're going to all be ministering at next month. And this pastor, he's not there anymore. Now there's another pastor. But his wife and they got born again when they were just buck heathens, man, and partying and having a good time, you know, living in the world wild. All of a sudden, this guy's wife gets born again. And, you know, so, and like, I mean, like, with a capital B. She's like in this really, you know, wild Pentecostal church. She gets born again and she life changed, like dramatic, you know. So this guy's freaking out. They were both raised Catholic. Now she's going to this wild Pentecostal church. She stops drinking. She stops all this partying. That was their thing, you know. So he's like, what did you do to my wife? You brainwashed her? And he's seriously, he's like freaking out. Thinks she's part of some cult or something. You know, what did you do to my wife? He's trying to move her away from the church and stuff. Well, all the time she's praying and interceding for her husband. 10 years she's believing God for him to be born again. Everybody say 10 years. Standing on the word, praying for him. And he, you know, the whole time he keeps trying to get her to move away from her church, tries to get transferred on his job to go different places. God's moving miraculously and the transfers are canceled, you know, like beyond natural understanding. Like, you know, he's like, finally he asked for permission. He said, listen, there's this really good opportunity. Can we do this? He realized that she's having something to do with him not getting these transfers, you know. So she agreed. But anyways, he thinks she's crazy. He doesn't want to have anything to do with church. 10 years. Doesn't set his foot in a church. She's praying for him the whole time. After 10 years, all of a sudden there's this little children's, Christmas pageant going on at the church. And it's during the Christmas season and he comes to see the kids, but that's it. Otherwise he wouldn't set his foot in a church for anything. He goes and he sees the kids in this Christmas pageant. And then they do the Christmas thing. Then afterwards they tell everybody to get into groups and pray for each other, you know, kind of like that kind of thing. Hold hands and share testimonies or whatever, you know, just kind of pray for each other's needs kind of thing. They all get together, you know, no altar call or anything. They all get in a circle, and all of a sudden as they're in this circle, this guy just starts shaking. He just shaking and trembling. Now, this woman, his wife, had been praying for him, and in a Bible study a couple days earlier, she was talking to her friends, and she said, how come we don't see people shake anymore like we used to in the old days? Apparently God was setting something up here, you know. They're here, man. They're just, I mean, no altar call or anything. They're just praying, you know, little circle prayer kind of deal. And this guy's just shaking, trembling. And she doesn't get it yet. And she says, honey, are you okay? You know, he's shaking. He says, I got to talk to the pastor. He said, he goes to the pastor and he asked to be born again, basically. He says, I need to be saved. Amen. 2 years later, he was pastor in a church, pastor in a Pentecostal church. It's amen. 2 years later, amen. It took some kind of power to do that. Thank God, man. This isn't sales. This isn't, you know, this isn't sales. This isn't marketing. This is God's work. And God wants to be involved in it even more than we've seen him involved in it. Praise God. It took God to do that. Well, anyhow, I had heard that story. So, we did the thing like we do here at different times. We've had people write down names. And remember Brother Tom a couple years ago, Thomas T. Tiller wrote down the names of seven of his loved ones and seven family members. And they all got born again. Isn't that right? Prayed for where I can't see in the lights. No, he's not here. I'm sorry. James, I'm sorry. It's just a blur past 1 foot from here. So I thought it was Tom for a second, but you know, I mean, it could be my own dad it's nothing but lights in my eyes here. So, anyhow, Thomas T. Tiller, who's not here with us tonight, wrote down the names of seven loved ones, put them on a sheet, believed God for them, and all seven of them were born again during the meetings. All seven of them called on the name of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? I love that story. So, you know, we were doing this. This was the first time we did this, though. And we had a little Sunday night service, and we passed around a legal pad. And when I say little, I mean like six people. So, that's what, you know, by little, I mean about six people, including Jocelyn and I. We passed around, seriously, it was somewhere in that neighborhood, 6 to 8. So we passed around a legal pad, and we told everybody to write down the names of seven people, just like Brother Tom did, that they're believing God for, that they want to see born again. So they wrote down the names of seven family members and loved ones, and there was 2 weeks between that meeting and the evangelism meeting, and we said, what we want you to do is pray for those people every day. And we took that sheet and we photocopied it. I know you guys here put it up on the wall so everybody could see. We just took that legal pad sheet, we photocopied it, everybody took a copy home. So you were praying for the seven people that you were going to talk to, as well as everybody else's people that they were, and so you're interceding every day for those people, standing in agreement together. You know, the church, that was the Sunday night service. Sunday morning, they'd have about 24 people. So the 2 weeks between when we had that prayer service and then we come back for Sunday morning. So anyhow, we preach at another church in between that Sunday, in between that Sunday night, and then when we have the evangelistic service, and it's down there, it's down in Mount Vernon, Ohio. And it was not an evangelistic service. We just did a healing service, and I preached on healing, and then I'm ministering to the sick. There hadn't even been an altar call yet. And as I'm sitting there praying for the sick in the healing line, all of a sudden I see an usher trying to get my attention. He's halfway back, and he's flagging me down. So I, you know, kind of lean over from the healing line, and I see he wants me to pray for somebody, so I start heading back. I get about halfway back to where he is, and there's this guy sitting in his seat, and he's shaking. I mean, he's shaking like somebody's got him by the shoulders and just, you know, I mean, he's shaking like crazy. And seriously, man, I mean, it's supernatural, obviously. It looks like the guy's, you know, just he's shaking. So, I'm like, man, this is it. This is it. I didn't say it out loud, but inside, I'm like, this is it, man. This is what we're praying for. This is what we're believing for. See, we've been praying for those lost people every day. And here, you know, we didn't even say anything about the lost much in this service. And here this guy just starts shaking, man. I go back. I said, what's going on? What can I pray with you about? He says, I need to get back to the Lord. I said, well, he's drawing you. He says, I could feel it. The whole time he's shaking. I'm talking to him and he's shaking there. The woman that was sitting next to him, she's kind of like scooting over little by little, you know. I said, he's drawing you. He says, I could feel it, he said. I prayed for him. He called on Jesus' name, you know, led him in the sinner's prayer like we do out on the street. The trembling stopped, the shaking stopped. He was standing praising God, tears flowing down his face. He was an entirely changed person. Then we came back to the church a year later. He was teaching the Sunday school for the kids, you know. And he was back there with them. But God saved him. But it took some kind of power to do that, didn't it? It took power to do that. It wasn't anything I said. It wasn't. There was not even an altar call. There was some kind of power working in that room. Amen. So we've seen some things like that. You know, Vinny, what happened with him here, it took some kind of power to do that, that he got born again that night. But there's power available, thank God. I'm thankful for what I've seen, but there's more power, and it's able to do more than we've yet seen. It's able to do more than yet has been demonstrated. I believe that God wants to do more in our day than any man has ever seen before. I do. I believe that. That scripture that we talked about, he's able to do more than we could ask or imagine according to the power that works within us. That even includes the book of Acts. I could imagine the book of Acts. It's right there on paper. It's written out. It's saying God did this, God did that. I could imagine that. How many think God's able to do more than the book of Acts? I don't think that there's nothing in the Bible that says this is the limit of what God can do in his dealings with mankind. I believe that if anything, that was the church in its infancy. We should be able to get beyond that. How many agree? Amen. I firmly believe it. I believe in these days that we can see greater things. And I'm not just talking just, you know, well, over the whole course, and we're so big now that we'll see it on a bigger scale. I mean, you know, Peter, he's there walking to church one day. He takes a lame man by the hand and he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rather rise up and walk. He takes him by the hand and he goes walking and leaping and praising God. And then several thousand people call on the name of Jesus and are added to the church. I believe God could do that in Augusta. Amen. I believe in one of our outreaches, we could just be out there in the right place and a few thousand people could be saved. Amen. I believe God could do more than that. How many of you believe he could do more than we could ask or imagine, like it says in Ephesians? He could do more than that. But we've got to be after it. We've got to make adjustments. Now, I've heard some stories, and I like reading stories about how God's moved at different times and in history and through different people. Sometimes it's just like faith target practice or faith ammunition. You just get something, you say, boy, if God did that, this is something I could put my faith on to see him do. Amen. And you know, that's how, like I talked about the other night, that's how my whole healing ministry started, was just by looking in the Word. God never appeared to me or said, seeing it in the Word, seeing God was willing, and then hearing stories from how God moved through other people and things like that, and just putting faith on it, and then you have it. Amen. Because he'll do it, and God watches over his Word to perform it. Amen. So, you know, during the Great Awakening, how many ever heard of the Great Awakening? And, you know, way back in the, before this was even a country, back in the late 1700s, there was some people that were believing God and they wanted to see, you know, God move in a mighty way across this country and in England. And some really outstanding things happened. And I've read some stories about those days. I read this one story. Well, here's one thing. You know how sometimes people fall out in the spirit? You know, we pray for them and then they'll fall over. And that's real, folks. I mean, I don't really push for it. And I don't, you know, it doesn't really happen much in our services. We just kind of pray for people and they get healed. But sometimes we pray for people and they fall out. It seems to happen less now as we focus more on, you know, talking with people and getting their healings and getting results for them. We're more focused on getting results and having pain leave and symptoms leave than we are on people falling over. Amen. But, you know, Jocelyn was praying for a lady one time in our kitchen, a friend of hers, Catholic girl, you know, totally has no idea about what we're talking about. Like people falling over when you pray for them. I mean, that's like the most foreign thing in the world to her. She's Catholic. She was newly Catholic, totally unchurched, had converted to Catholicism because her husband was a Catholic, you know. So she had back pain. Jocelyn prays for her in our kitchen. Jocelyn lays hands on her and prays for her in our kitchen. She starts to fall back and she catches herself on the refrigerator. She says, "What did you do to me?" Amen. Jocelyn said nothing. She said, "I prayed for you." She said, "Sometimes in services, people even fall over." She said, "You're kidding." That's what she said. Jocelyn said, "Sometimes people will fall over and somebody has to catch them." She said, "You've got to be kidding me." This blew her mind. But it happened to her. So, you know, it's not like premeditated. She's not trying to do it. So we see this. We see people, you know, fall over sometimes. But, you know, God does that. Like when Jesus, when he was at the tomb and he had already risen and he says, "I am he." And all the soldiers that said, they just fell out as he said that. But now listen, so I've been reading about the Great Awakening and we see believers fall over a lot of times. See, in the Great Awakening, it was the lost people that fell out in the spirit. Could you imagine that? And, you know, people would be lost in the service. Sometimes they'd fall forward. Before John Wesley would preach, he would be up on the platform and there would be so many people, sometimes 20,000 people, which is like a huge amount for what the population was. And there'd be people up in trees, like with Jesus, because he was so, you know, to hear him preach, there'd be people up in the trees so they could see him and so they could hear him. And he would say, listen, you guys got to get down out of the trees. I won't start preaching until you're out of the trees, because when I start preaching, people start falling. That's what he said. It's true. He'd say, you got to get out of the trees or I'm not going to be preaching. And they'd get down and then he'd start preaching. These people, these lost people, some of them would come in. Some of them would come in to break up the meeting. They'd come in to, you know, throw stuff at the preacher. They'd come in shouting obscenities and all kinds of stuff like that. And that's where the term originated, was in the Great Awakening, being slain in the spirit. You ever hear that? And these people would fall out. They'd be knocked down, man. The lost be knocked down by the power of God. Well, that'll get your attention. And you know, some people, somebody needs to get their attention. But it takes power to do that kind of thing. I read another story about those days, and there was a dance hall, and there was not even a preacher there. There was nobody there, but these people were in this dance hall, and these people were just contending and praying for their city. And as these people danced in the dance hall, all of a sudden one person is sitting there, and she just began to weep, and then she fell to her knees, and she started crying out to God and asking him to forgive her of her sins. And then all of a sudden another person and another person and another person, and all of a sudden everybody in this dance hall was on their knees, and they were crying out, saying, God, please forgive. There was not even a preacher there. They just all came to the meeting later. God just dealt with them there. That was a demonstration of some kind of power. Amen. You know, now fast forward a few years after the Great Awakening into the 1850s, there was a guy named Charles Finney, and he preached up a lot around where I live. He's actually buried in Ohio, in Oberlin, Ohio, and he preached up. His most famous meeting was up in Rochester, New York, and he preached through New York and kind of went along the Great Lakes there. But he was up there, and he was preaching a meeting. I believe it was either Rome, New York, or Rochester, New York, and he was preaching a meeting. And as he was walking to the meeting to go preach, you know, he's got his Bible, he's walking to his meeting to go preach, and the lost people were just being drawn by the Holy Spirit, walking out, you know, just kind of walking out of their houses and walking to the meeting, and they just came down and started crying and got born again, just started walking out of their houses to the meeting. Nobody invited them. The power of God just drew them right out of their houses, just like he drew those fish to the net in Luke chapter 5, like we read tonight. Amen. This is the thing that we got to realize, is that God created the heavens and the earth, and there's nothing too difficult for him. And this kind of stuff is easy for God. Amen. And this is the kind of stuff God wants to do. And when we balance that with his willingness, we realize that this is the stuff that God wants to do today in our lives, in our cities, in our outreaches, in our churches, in our evangelistic meetings, in our families, in our family reunions, in our workplaces, in Kroger parking lot. This is the kind of stuff that God wants to do. I'm telling you, I'm stirring up my heart. I want to walk up to somebody's door one of these days, or catch somebody on the street, and they ask me, well, how can I be saved? Amen. Well, we saw it when we were there. Remember when we were on James Brown Plaza, Nate and I were out there in the first impact meeting. These two ladies were there on James Brown Plaza, and Nate had a camera around his neck, and they said, hey, take our picture. Nate says, all right, we'll take your picture. We walk over, Nate's taking their picture, and I'm getting in position to, you know, preach the gospel to him. So he's, you know, seizing the opportunity. Nate's taking their picture. And then I'm starting to go through the card, man. I don't have the card out, but I'm going to go through the whole process. And I said, listen, we're from Good News Church. We're out here praying with people today. What can I pray with you ladies about? She said, I got to get saved. Amen. You remember? I'm excited at this point. I'm like, you have met the right people. And then I said, what about you? You know, to her friend. She says, yeah. She says, I fell off the wagon. She says, I need to get back to the Lord. I said, you have met the right people, ladies, because that's exactly what we're out here to do. Those ladies were in church that night. They sat right back here. Amen. And they got born again. But it takes some kind of power to do that. Amen. See, there's more. There's more than we've yet seen. Just like those fish were drawn to the nets. It took some kind of power to do that. But that power is available. We're seeing it. Everybody say, we're seeing it. Oh, but we could see more, can't we? we can see more. Amen. Anything that anybody else has seen at any other time in history, we could see it now. Isn't that right? We could see it like Finney saw it. We could see it like John Wesley and Jonathan Edwards saw it. We could see it like Peter and John saw it at the Gate Beautiful. Because God hasn't changed. He's not any less willing. His power isn't any less available to us than it was to them. Amen. But you see, we got to go after it. We got to contend for it. It was, you see, if it's power, all the power of God works the same way. Kenneth Hagin used to say that. The principles of faith, they work the same in every arena. And so we could look at the woman with the issue of blood. And here's Jesus walking through this crowd. And that power is available for everybody in the crowd. There's healing power available for everybody there. Listen, there's healing power available for anybody here tonight. Amen? And there's Jesus walking through the crowd, and that power is available. Well, you know, it's just like today, that power is available to us. Healing power is available tonight. And it is, isn't it amazing? As we put a demand on it and we put out our faith for it in Jesus' name, we see people healed. And almost in every service, we see people healed. Sometimes we see just everybody healed of just anything that, you know, anything that we could know that it was wrong with them on the spot. We've seen healed in these meetings. Isn't it amazing that as we just put a demand on it? Well, is that happening in every church in town? No. Is it available to every church in town? Yes. What's the difference? We're reaching out in faith and saying we believe it's for us today, and we're acting like the word is true. We're putting a demand on it, and it's amazing. It works when you do it. Well, if that's true for healing power, why would it be any different for saving power? In fact, that's the reason that we're seeing these miraculous supernatural stories. As we go out on the street, people say things like, last night the Lord told me somebody was going to come to the house and lead my wife to the Lord. That's a demonstration of power. Is that happening everywhere? No. Why is that happening with us? Because we're special? No. But because we just believe God meant what he said. We're taking it by faith and we're saying, Lord, we expect you to do it. And he always does what he said he would do. Hallelujah. Can we apply these same principles and see more? Absolutely, man. Praise God. Yes, we can. Everybody say, yes, we can. We can apply these principles and we could see more than we've yet seen. It's all available. Boy, praise God. What is it that you need from the Lord tonight? Do you need healing in your body? Thank God it's available. You could reach out like the woman with the issue of blood. It's there. You reach out in faith and an amazing thing happens. God does what he said he would do. Do we need power in our cities? Yes, we do. Absolutely. But thank God it's available. The only reason that people are lost is because the God of this world has blinded their eyes, the Bible tells us. It's the only reason. Listen, the devil ain't got no power that God can't overcome, that he's not greater than. Amen? I mean, if God's got any power to keep people lost, if the devil has any power to keep people lost, God has infinitely greater power to draw them unto him and save them and make them new creatures. Anything that the devil has in his bag of tricks to keep people away, God has infinitely greater power to draw them in. How do we see that power activated in our day? Well, we could look at the woman with the issue of blood. How did she see power activated? She believed in who Jesus was. She thought it was worth it. And she reached out in faith. And she put a demand on it. And that power flowed and met her at her place of need. Amen. What do you need tonight? Well, I could tell you something that we all need. We need God's power to fulfill the Great Commission. We need signs and wonders. Maybe we'll talk about that more tomorrow night. But I was gonna talk about that tonight. Somebody told me at lunch. I forget that I've been going long. I apologize. So we'll get you out of here a little quicker today. I don't even remember who it was. Honestly, somebody said, you've been going long. I said, I didn't even realize it. Amen. God's good. But it's worth it. It's Rachel. Amen. It's worth it. But you see, whatever it is you have need of, it's there. And I realize how much God loves the lost, how much he loves the sick. And there's power available for them, folks. Even the really sick, the deformed, the maimed. You know that Isaiah counts them in when it says, by Jesus' stripes we're healed. That includes even the very bad people, you know, the very worst, most severe cases. There's power available for that. Well, how do we get that power flowing? How do we get that power moving? I believe we've got to have faith in it. We've got to contend for it. We've got to maybe do something out of the ordinary, like the woman with the issue of blood, to go out and make contact. Amen. He's got providing power, doesn't he? He's got power to get you what you need and meet your needs. He's got power. What is it that you need? We pray with a lot of people on the streets for jobs, for cars, for things like that. He can get you a car. I could tell stories. Praise God. Nate could tell stories too. He could get you a car. He could get you a computer. He could get you a job. He can pay off your house. He can get you whatever you need. He's got power to do it. Amen. He's able to do it. How do you do that? How do you get that power activated? Activate it by faith. Amen? So let's do that tonight. Let's just release our faith for some things as we close tonight. Sound good? Let's believe God for more. Amen? Let's contend for more. For God to do more as we go out in these outreaches. And not only in these outreaches, but I'm talking about the days and the months to come. And not just the days, weeks, and months to come. I'm talking about not just through our ministry and our own personal lives. Let's believe God to do more in our day, this day that we live, throughout the whole church. Amen? Believe God for the body of Christ. And just believe God in general for an increase. And for us to see things greater than even people have seen in days gone by. Can we all pray for that together? And then we're going to minister to the sick. And we'll apply those same principles, that we'll just put a demand on that power today, because it's available for us. It's here tonight, and we'll believe that God's here, that God will meet every need. And just like we've seen other nights, just like we saw last night and the night before, whatever it is you have need of, Jesus is here. We'll put a